Hello everyone, welcome to the TriStar Gym channel. Hopefully my sound is loud and clear. I'm going to wait for you guys to jump in the chat room. And I'm going to be talking to you guys about the Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier trilogy fight. Give me a thumbs up. Just let me know that the sound is really, really good. Hopefully I've got it right this time again. And I'm going to be giving you guys my thoughts on what happened. I was actually there that night. What a fight. Lots of great fights that night. And this is my official post-fight analysis. Okay, guys, so what did I see? Listen, I'm going to jump right to it, right to the ending. I believe his leg broke off the teep. He threw a teep, a push kick, a front kick, for those of you who don't know what a teep is. And Dustin Poirier blocked it with his elbow. And I think that's what created the break. Your leg doesn't break off pivoting off a punch, okay? His leg failed. After when he threw a left hand, McGregor threw a left hand, you saw his foot fold underneath him. He broke at the tibia. There had to be a fracture before. Now let's go back to the beginning of the fight. So that's the end of the fight. In my opinion, that's an official win for Poirier. It's not a doctor stoppage or whatnot. We're going to talk about all those details. You know, what was said, what was implied, etc. We're going to talk about all that. But first, let's break down the actual fight. Let's talk about the actual fight. In the beginning of the fight, the first 30, 40 seconds, I love what McGregor did. He came out in his old school karate stance, traditional martial arts stance. Call it what you will. Okay? Call it what you will. He didn't come out in a boxing stance. I loved it. And he threw a spinning kick, a spinning back kick. Beautiful spinning back kick. He threw three and he landed one good one. Okay? In the first 45 seconds of the fight. I loved what he was doing. He looked amazing. The first few seconds. Okay? I'm not talking about the entire round. The round was definitely a Dustin Poirier round. Even some of you might say it was a 10-8. I would argue it's a 10-9 because I didn't feel it was enough damage for a 10-8. But it could be. But I wouldn't give it a 10-8. Okay, I would give it a 10-9. But there's no doubt in my mind Dustin Poirier won that round. And I really believe that even if the fight went on, Dustin Poirier was going to win the entire fight. I really believe that Dustin Poirier now has superseded McGregor. He's just better than McGregor everywhere. He beat McGregor striking. He beat McGregor wrestling. He beat McGregor on the ground. He looked even in better shape than McGregor. He had beat McGregor in all areas of the fight, even in toughness, mental toughness, tenacity, everything. I gave it to the advantage to Poirier. First fight starts. McGregor looks pretty good the first 45 seconds. He's throwing a lot of nice shots, good shot selection, and he kicks Poirier in the leg. Yes, he does. But he kind of hits Poirier on the side of the knee, which Poirier kind of semi-checked. It was a weird one, okay? Because a couple low kicks landed. Beautiful. Looked like it hurt Poirier. And one of them he kind of checked, and Poirier kind of pointed to him. He pointed to his foot. Just like he did in their second fight. He kind of pointed. You know, in their second fight, Poirier had landed a nice punch, and he pointed to McGregor. Hey, I caught you. And then when McGregor threw that kick in the third fight, and he did that semi-check, it kind of hit him about around the knee. He pointed to his foot. He's like, that hurt, didn't it? And you know, sometimes when you're kickboxing, you kick each other, and the guy who blocks can hurt the guy who's kicking just as much. Okay, let me talk to you about the law of structures. Okay, you can take what I'm about to say to the bank. Okay, if you get hit by a car that's going, I don't know, 20 kilometers an hour, it's the same impact as if you were to run towards a parked car. If the car is parked and you run towards it at 20 kilometers an hour, the impact is the same whether you are standing still and the car is going 20 kilometers an hour, or the car is standing still and you're running at the car 20 kilometers an hour. The impact is the same, okay? When you kick somebody, no matter how hard you kick them, you're also getting hit with that same amount of force, okay? It depends which structure is more solid, which structure is more powerful. So for instance, if you throw a huge punch at my skull and the bone density of my skull is greater than the bone density of your hand, your hand is going to break. I'm going to feel the impact of the punch, of course, but your fist is also going to feel the impact of that punch. If you punch me and you hit my elbow, okay, the same amount of force you put in my elbow is in your knuckle. So the structure of my elbow is superior, is more robust than the structure of your fist. Guess what? Your fist is going to break. Okay, your fist is going to break. When you kick somebody in the shin, and we're going to talk about how not to break your leg, okay? Because a lot of guys are breaking their leg now in MMA. I'm also going to talk about later on how not to break your leg, okay? That's going to be later. When you kick somebody shin to shin, the lower part of the shin where McGregor broke, is the most brittle, the weakest structure of the shin bone. Touch your shin bone, start at the bottom where the ankle is, and slide up. You'll see your shin bone gets thicker and thicker and thicker and more robust. McGregor kicked with the weakest part of the shin bone against, and I'm talking about the first low kick that the low kick that Poirier pointed at, and to the upper side of the higher, more robust side of the shin bone. You never see shin bones break up high, okay? You never see shin bones break at the top. They always break at the bottom, okay? All the guys that break at the bottom. Why? This is the weak part. You never want to kick with this part unless you're sure you're hitting meat. You never want to hit bone on bone with this part, guys. When you hit bone on bone, you better be using the thicker part of your shin, okay? Now I'm using the forearm because the forearm is similar, right? There's two bones here. One is thinner, and as it goes up, it gets thicker and thicker and more robust. When two structures collide, it's always the weaker structure that gets the injury. Never the stronger structure. McGregor kicked at the knee, which is where the knee meets the shin bone. Now, if he had kicked the kneecap is a weaker structure than the shin bone. I've seen guys kick the kneecap and break a guy's kneecap. I've seen it. Okay, I've seen countless fights. I've seen guys lose their kneecap, break their kneecap because they blocked with their kneecap. Okay, I believe that it kind of hit Poirier in that weird corner where your knee meets your shin bone. I think that McGregor's lower shin bone hit the upper shin bone of Poirier, and Poirier knew it because he pointed at it. He's like, "Hey, that hurts." You know, he's been in countless fights. He knows what hurts. But what really broke his ankle, in my opinion, is when McGregor kicked the elbow of Poirier just seconds before his leg snapped. Okay, it must have created a fracture, and as he was punching, the stress on that fracture was too much, and the base of his power was just swept out from underneath him, and he collapsed. Now, barring that, what happened between the leg break and all the whole fighting? Well, you know what? We have to say that Poirier just beat him everywhere, okay? I liked how McGregor came out. I liked his stance, but what happened during that fight? Poirier eventually landed a beautiful counterpunch. McGregor threw a jab, and Poirier threw a beautiful... Before that, Poirier did a really nice combo where he switched stance and threw a 1-2. And he caught McGregor. He caught him. It stung him. And then after he countered one of McGregor's jabs and put McGregor on the back foot, and what happened? McGregor goes for a body lock, almost like he shot into a body lock. Now, if you guys remember the pre-fight talk, McGregor was saying the first guy to wrestle is a... what was it again? Is a dusty bitch, I think is what he said. If I remember correctly, McGregor told Dustin Poirier, the first guy to shoot, the first guy to wrestle is a dusty bitch. So who wrestled first? It was definitely McGregor. McGregor instigated the takedown. Maybe it wasn't a takedown attempt, it was just to tie him up. Okay, well, he stopped the striking. He got into the wrestling portion of the fight, and according to him, that's what whoever does that first is the dusty bitch. Okay, so I don't know what that means exactly, but whatever. Then Poirier puts him to the fence. And now look, Poirier is, we could see, he's a superior wrestler. What does McGregor do? McGregor goes for a guillotine. Now, it's shocking because McGregor said to everybody that, look, anybody who, I don't count subs. I've only ever lost one time in my career. And that was to Poirier because I got knocked out. And here I'm going to come in, I'm going to avenge it. But subs, I don't count them. But here he is going for submission. Imagine McGregor were to win by submission. If he were to win by submission, I mean, what would we make of it? What would we say about McGregor? You know, what would we say? Would we say that he won, or would we say it doesn't count? By his own standards, it doesn't count. So whatever. I mean, his guillotine was not a strong attempt. Okay, it was not a good guillotine. What happens? Poirier uses that guillotine attempt to pass his guard. McGregor's going to attempt that guillotine two more times. One of them was very weak, but it just slipped. But he does get another grip on his neck eventually, and it was also a very weak attempt. But he was doing what he can on the bottom. It's not easy, guys. I'm telling you, in MMA, when you're on the bottom like that, especially up against the fence, and guys, I've practiced that position so many times. I've trained so many guys in that position. It's a very difficult place to be in a fight. Now, in jiu-jitsu, it's not as bad because guys can't hit you. It's when you add those strikes. It is a very difficult position, okay? So McGregor, kudos to him. He took a beating on the bottom. He handled himself well. It's not an easy place to be. But what I didn't like is he was literally putting his fingers in the glove. He was cheating, okay? Let's just say it. He was putting his fingers in the glove and trying to upkick Poirier. And that's what actually let him up off his back, okay? Because I think Poirier would have stayed on top the whole time. McGregor digs his fingernails in the glove like he did with Khabib in a similar way. With Khabib, he hooked in the inside of the glove, but here, actually, no, he actually also hooked, he hooked outside the glove. And he was trying to upkick. And then Poirier kind of pulls his arm out and talks to the ref. He says, Herb, he's pulling on my gloves. And then McGregor uses that opportunity to get up. Okay, watch that fight again. While Dustin is like complaining to the ref, McGregor gets back up. Okay, so what happens? They exchange. They both throw left hands. They both miss. McGregor steps back and his shin bone breaks. In my opinion, Dustin beat him standing on the ground in the wrestling exchange. His pace was going to be higher, in my opinion. It looked like McGregor was getting flustered. I don't think that McGregor was going to do anything in the second round. I think things were going to get worse. Not impossible that he wins. Not impossible that he wins. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying it's highly, highly unlikely. Okay, he was going to lose that fight. I think we all know it. Now, I didn't like the fact that they interviewed him on the floor only because the man was in so much pain, okay? When you're in so much pain, he must have been in shock looking at his leg. He must have been very, in a place of shock. You know, you're looking at your leg, it's broken. You're not expecting your leg to break. It's just a tough, tough, stressful situation to be in. I'm sure McGregor was feeling a lot of pain. Even though there's the adrenaline, it's still a very painful thing, I imagine, to have your leg broken like that, okay? So, I didn't think it was the best time to interview him. Now, I know we're going to get into a lot of talk about what he said, what was said. And, I'm going to make some comments about that. I really didn't find it very classy what he said. I thought it was really embarrassing. It was actually stupid and humiliating for himself. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. But before we get into all that, what was said, who said what, we're going to talk about it for sure. Let's talk about the fight. I want to hear your guys' comments and questions about the fight. In my opinion, it was a clean win for Dustin. He broke his shin bone because of Dustin's elbow. Dustin blocked that kick. He knows McGregor teeps to the body. He was prepping his defense. That's called an elbow destruction. It exists in martial arts. It does exist. You can block a teep with the elbow. It's very, very painful for the guy teeping. He prepped for it. We all know McGregor has a great body teep, a very long teep. He's very powerful with it, and that was a beautiful way to block it, and it got him the win. With that said, guys, let's focus on the fight, and then let's talk about the politics of the fight, okay? Well, let's focus on the fight first, okay? I think Connor is finished. That's from Dahlhead. Listen, it's a major setback for him, but you should never say somebody's finished until, the fat lady sings. I don't think he's finished. I just think it's a really tough setback. Clean guillotine defense on Dustin Poirier's part. That's from Virtual Octane. Yes, absolutely. I didn't feel that McGregor really got close with it, but you never know with guillotines. You know, they're a tricky thing. I just think it looked like it wasn't going to work. Okay. I really think people are sleeping. Oops, hold on a second, guys. I am on a new computer system. Guys, shout out to my cousin Sammy. Cousin Sammy hooked it up. My computer failed, crashed. It got destroyed. I don't know what happened to it. I had malware in my computer. Again, one of my children, one of my sons, the problem child in the family, he did something to my computer and completely destroyed it. Okay, but my cousin Sammy, the greatest button pusher I know, came and just fixed everything. I don't know how he did it, but he got me on a new system, OBS. I'm on Linux now. I'm on Ubuntu or something like that. And like, he totally fixed me. So special thank you to my cousin Sammy. Guys, this video podcast would not be possible without my cousin Sammy. Okay, so big shout out to him. Thank you very much. Where were we? I think Connor is finished. Connor is done. I think Connor is finished. My goodness, you guys really don't have any faith. Clean guillotine defense. Yes, okay, we did that. Connor broke it kicking the thigh. I don't think you could break your leg kicking the thigh. Honestly, don't forget the law of structures. Okay, your foot is strong, is more dense than a thigh. Thigh is flesh. You know, you have to hit a bone to hurt your foot. Okay, coach, did you hear what happened to Ken? Connor's side. No, I don't know what happened to Ken. This I don't know. There was a video showing in the slow-mo that the elbow did not connect. What else could be the reason? That's from a Adlib. No, I really think the elbow did connect. I looked at it. The elbow definitely did connect. Sometimes it's difficult to see from the ankle, but I wasn't there. I didn't feel it. I didn't throw the kick. I didn't block on my elbow, but it looked to me like it hit. Actually, I believe John Kavanaugh also said that Conor kicked the elbow. I believe so. Please correct me if I'm wrong in the comments section, but I believe that even his corner said, "Look, he kicked the elbow. That's what broke his arm, his leg, and that's just the way it is." Look, it can happen to anybody. Absolutely. Listen, kicking the elbow like that and hurting your foot. I've broken my toe on an elbow like that, like maybe 5 times in my life. Okay. Like, it hurts. It happens. This is Muay Thai, guys. Muay Thai is a tough business. There's bone on bone. There's shin to shin. There's shin to elbow. It's painful. I'm going to talk to you guys later about how I avoid breaking my foot, even though I have broken my foot many times. I've learned the hard way. How not to break your foot when you're kicking. Okay, and it's actually, I think, something of interest for many of you. McGregor should fight the Diaz and Paul brothers. Maybe just box. Thought I saw that Canelo invited him to join his team a few months back. That's from DBJMK. You know what? McGregor's always going to have novelty fights. You know, if he fights the Paul brothers, they're going to be able to hype it up. If he fights Nate Diaz, he has to fight Nate Diaz the third time. I think that's a huge fight for him. But I honestly don't think he's in the top five anymore in the UFC. Guys, in my opinion, he's not top five. There are many guys out there now that'll beat him. I think Islam Makhachev will beat him. I think Armin Tsarukyan can beat him. I think Poirier will beat him again. I think, like, there's just a lot of guys out there that'll beat him. I think Chandler beats him. I think Oliveira beats him. I think his mystique now has been heavily damaged. Okay, it's been heavily damaged. Why? Because, look, he landed that powerful left on Dustin, and it didn't work. Dustin blocked it, kind of shielded it. One of them, Dustin said, look, it hit me, it wobbled me, but my legs were still there. It doesn't have that touch of death anymore. Guys, it doesn't have it. And what else is there? That's what you got to ask yourself. What else is there? Well, he's got beautiful kicks. He's got some, you know, nice counters and all that, but he doesn't have that high-paced trench war boxing, clinching, kneeing, elbowing. He doesn't have the wrestling. He doesn't have the jiu-jitsu behind him. You know, that part of his game is more defensive. It's more once in a while he's going to use it just to get out of a little trouble. You know, he showed some nice guillotine defense against Mendez, a little bit of jiu-jitsu against Diaz. So, yeah, it did have some effect, you know. He defended nicely against Khabib for a while. You know, we could say that. You know, he got it to the fourth round, which a lot of guys don't get that far. But it's not very offensive. So what else is there? If that left hand is not going to be putting guys away in round one, it's going to be a difficult road, I think, for him to break into the top five. You know, because there's a lot of great, great wrestlers. But again, you know, it all depends on the matchups he gets and the fights he gets. Who knows? But I just feel that if he fights Poirier again, it's a mistake. He's just going to lose to Poirier again. That's just my opinion. Okay, guys, tell me, what did you guys see in this fight? Do you think Conor would have picked it up in the second round? That's from Backwood Band. Well, if you look at him historically, he doesn't do as well in the later rounds. Now, he has a victory, a TKO victory, against Eddie Alvarez in second round, but he was dominating the first round. And he did kind of well. No, he did very well in the early part of the second round in both Diaz fights that he started to fade in the later part. So I think he had 4 more rounds. That's deep waters, man. That's really deep waters. I just think that the fact that Dustin got McGregor to wrestle in round one just shows that Dustin's a better boxer. You know, Dustin caught him with a quick uppercut, a beautiful uppercut, and it just rattled McGregor. I think it just rattled McGregor. Listen, it's also a problem for McGregor because Dustin is a southpaw, so he doesn't have that left hand at the same angle. Of course, you can land a left hand on two southpaws, can land a left hand on each other. It's just not the same angle. And if you look at McGregor, he's always done so well against shorter fighters, but Dustin's a longer reach than most fighters he's fought, and he, you know, it's just tough. The fact that Poirier can kick, Poirier is a southpaw, Poirier is a very, very good boxer. It just takes away so much because McGregor's almost like all about landing that left hand. You know, that's his ace in the hole, but it's not there no more. So what else does he have? What else does he rely on? This is a really difficult thing for him to win with a spinning kick. You know, it might happen once in a while, but it's just not easy to land. Those spinning kicks are not always easy to land. It's tricky, you know, to line it up perfectly. So I just think he would have got mauled in round two, to be honest with you. If you're asking me my honest opinion, I think he would have got caught up with the striking and I think he would have got double leg taken down. Okay, guys, what else we got here? for us, Coach Connor needed to go high elbow guillotine. That's from Haddon Donahue. You know what? I totally agree with you. That is an excellent choice for a guillotine. It would at least got him on the top position. I didn't like the way he put on the guillotine. I think his leg position was completely off. Squeezing the neck, not involving your legs, is not going to work, guys. I have a great video on guillotine traps. It's available on BJJFanatics.com, guys. Check it out, guillotine traps. I promise you, when you put a guillotine on somebody, you need to involve your legs in a way that's very sophisticated. It's all about locking the head and locking the legs. You can't just lock the head. Check out that video. I promise you, you're not going to see a better guillotine video except for John Denahar's videos, okay? John Denahar is the best one, for sure. Nobody could touch him. But this video is, my video is very concise and straight to the point and short. It's a 1 hour video and it's all about how to control a guy with his neck. You grab a guy's neck, you control him. You tap him out or you get on top of him. You don't let him jump to side control and mangle you. You know, you don't allow this kind of stuff. But you got to get organized. And part of being organized is how to hold the head and how to control him with your legs. McGregor was holding the head, but not controlling the legs. He wasn't controlling Poirier with his legs. Now, if you're not able to control a guy with your legs, like you said, what you should do is go high elbow. Because when you go high elbow, you no longer need the legs. That's one of the few tie-ups outside of arm triangles that you can control the head without the use of your legs in a successful manner. But McGregor was controlling the head without the use of his legs, and that ain't going to work unless you have, like you said, which you already know, high elbow guillotine is the one exception on that. Okay, now there are a few other exceptions. There are. We're not going to go over them now because it's more of a visual thing. I'd have to demonstrate it. But he just did it wrong. Okay, and his guillotine games, you know, it's not super strong. And McGregor's guillotine game is not like, it's not like his striking game. You know, his striking game is very strong, but his guillotine game, it wasn't going to happen. That guillotine, unlikely to happen. Okay, highly unlikely. What else do we want to talk about? Okay, guys, let's talk about all the pre-fight talk. You know, I got to tell you guys, I was really grossed out. I'm telling you. I don't know how you guys could be fans of this man. Like, look, I respect him as a fighter. I respect his skill. I can't deny that. But the way he behaved at the press conference was just horrible. You know, like he was saying, I'm going to murder you. I'm going to kill you. You're going to leave on a stretcher. He's saying that to Dustin Poirier. And by the way, guys, Dustin Poirier is my hero. The way he carried himself after the fight. The man deserves a medal. Like, he's such a sweet human being. He's such a, like, he showed such great character. I'm a huge Poirier fan now. I was a huge Poirier fan before, but now I'm a much bigger Poirier fan than before because I can't believe he didn't go over there and just kick the guy while he's down. Like, I would have took, it takes so much class to, like, just not go over there and slap the guy. You know, the guy's acting like a, anyways. What did he say at the press conference? He said something disgusting. McGregor said something like just vile. Like, if I was his corner man, if I was his coach, if I was his friend, if anybody's a true friend to Connor, they're going to go up to him and they're going to tap him on the shoulder and they're going to tell him, look, you're behaving, you know, it's gross the way you're behaving. You have to stop. You're not, if he has a true friend in this world, if Connor McGregor has one true friend in this world, this is what his true friend is going to do. Because I don't know if he does have a true friend. Maybe he's just surrounded by, you know, people who just want his prestige and money and they just want what they can get out of him. But if he has a single true friend in this world, that true friend's going to take him behind closed doors and tell him, look, the way you're behaving is just, it's stupid. You're making yourself look bad. You're embarrassing us, your family, your friends. It's just a humiliating way for a true martial artist, a warrior, to behave. Now, what did he do that was so embarrassing? Well, he said at the press conference, I heard this in my own ears, guys. He said, I'm going to bury you and your whole team, and your bitch-ass kids. Please excuse my language. And your bitch ass kids. Like, he's going after kids now. Now, if that was anybody else, if that was a guy on a prelim card or on the undercard or something, we would all be like, hey, kick this guy off the roster. Kick this guy out of the UFC. What is this? This is disgusting. Nobody should behave like this. Like, anybody would say such a thing, he would get stepped on. No. But because it's Conor McGregor, coach, you can't say that. It's Conor McGregor. He's the poster boy. He's the one who sells all the tickets. No, there's no pass for that. When he punched the old man, I came on here and I told you guys, the guy's a scum of the earth. If I was there, I wouldn't have went down like that. I would have stood up. I can't believe people let this guy get away with this kind of stuff. I don't care if you have to use a chair. Defend that poor old man. Don't you dare let some young kid come and punch some old man in front of you. Don't you dare. I don't care what the circumstances are. You get up and you defend that old man. And you know, I would say the vast majority of you agreed with me, and a small majority were like, no, coach, you're wrong. You don't know the whole story, which there's no story to know. I see the video, a young guy punching an old guy. I don't care if that old guy was out of line. The man is old. It's like hitting a child. It's like punching a child. Like, the man's old. And then McGregor came online and he apologized and he said he was in the wrong and everybody who criticized him was in the right. And he walked it back. And I came back on here and I said, look, guys, you know, people are allowed mistakes. Okay, let's forgive him. Let's go back to, you know, giving him a second chance. Hopefully he's had a, you know, an experience. He's grown and who knows. But then he comes out and does this. He did more than this. He not only threatened to kill Poirier and say, oh, it's for real. And supposedly Poirier said to the media, you guys didn't see what he was doing in the background. He was doing like, he's going to shoot me. He's going to kill me. He's going to like assassinate me, which is insane behavior. Guys, it's insane behavior. This is intolerable, intolerable behavior. Then he says the your bitch ass kids, like he's going after the kids. He talked about in the Khabib fight, he talked about family members. He talked about religion. Like he talked about like things like you don't touch, man. We're just two guys fighting. They're just two guys fighting. One guy's going to win. One guy's going to lose. You try again. You do your thing. You go on with your career. You don't start threatening families. And then even in the ring, even in the octagon, he's like, your wife slid in my DMs. It's like, dude, what kind of like, he's so down. McGregor is so down. He's so angry and jealous of Poirier. He will say and do anything to try to insult Poirier, try to take away from this moment of Poirier. Listen, Poirier has beaten you. He's a better fighter than you. He will be remembered as a better fighter than you. Even if you came back and you beat Poirier, you'd have to fight him again because then you'd just be even with him. You'd beat him twice. He'd beat you twice. You'd have to fight him again. And listen, I find that that's a highly unlikely scenario. It could happen, but highly unlikely scenario. But the lose with some class. Lose with some class. Now, in their second fight, McGregor lost. He showed a lot of class. He shook Poirier's hand. They were friendly. Now, I know McGregor has his old story with Dustin accused me of not paying his charity. And it was all the way he did it was wrong. That's why I didn't pay, etc. Whatever beef you have there, you can't take it and start threatening to kill each other and then start threatening each other's children and team members and whatnot. That's just animal behavior. And then to say something like what he said about Poirier's wife, man, it's disgusting. It's just pure disgust. He's saying, oh, you're looking fine, you little hoe. He called his wife a little hoe. That's unacceptable. And the class that Poirier showed. But by the way, I have a lot of respect for Poirier, but I have even more respect for Jolie Poirier. I think she outdid her husband just by a little bit by flipping. I love that she flipped off McGregor. I love it. I love that she went up to him and she's like, you know what? You little. Because the guy was so disrespectful, so disgusting, so pathetic. That, you know what? I would even like understand that he was in shock. He's in pain. His bone is broken. Like his leg is broken. He should have walked back those comments. He should have apologized after. He said, look, guys, I really apologize. I was in shock of my broken foot. That's wrong. I was angry. I was frustrated. Congratulations to the Poirier family and team. My mistake, you know, like at least something like that. But I think McGregor suffers from narcissism heavily, heavily narcissistic. And unfortunately for him, he can't see that he's at fault. And that's why he needs a true friend or family member to step in and kind of sober him up a little bit. Because I find, honestly, all he did was embarrass himself. McGregor embarrassed himself. You'll never see a fighter behave like this. He's the only guy that even when he loses, he can't take it. He just can't take it. He can't look in the mirror and say, you know what? That wasn't my fight. It didn't go my way. I lost. Here's what I have to do to improve. This is how I better myself. No, 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 no. Him, in his mind, it's a freak accident. There was no check. You were going to get a beating in the second round. It's just nonsense. Nonsense. Pure nonsense. Anyways, I felt that not only has his skills as a fighter dipped, but also his character. His character is in horrible danger, you know. And that's the thing. Martial arts is supposed to make you humble. You know why? Because we all get a beating. Every guy in the world who trained martial arts took a beating. Even if you're Francis Ngannou. I don't care if you're Francis Ngannou. You got a beating once upon a time in the gym. He was growing up. He was young. There were bigger guys than him in the gym. They took him down. They choked him. They smacked him around. They double-legged him. I'm sure he's got those stories. Even though today he's the world's most dangerous man. every martial artist gets his ass kicked. There's no doubt about it. GSP's gotten his ass kicked. Anderson Silva's gotten his ass kicked. Everybody. But you learn to be humble. You know, you learn that, hey, you know what? I'm not going to quit. I'm going to learn. I have faults. You admit your faults. We all eat humble pie. We all, man, guys, listen. Every martial artist I ever worked with, every single megastar pro, the best of the best, they've had bad days, and I've seen them get in trouble, and I've seen them tap, and I've seen them get hit, and I've seen them get dropped, and I've seen them in their bad moments. But they all carry themselves, 99% of them carry themselves well. And these are tough times they fall on. And I hope McGregor bounces back. But for me, like as a fan, I only admire his fighting. Everything else, no. Honestly, sad. Sad, not pathetic, sad. Horrible. Okay, guys, with that said, let's talk. Let's open up comments and questions on absolutely anything about the Poirier-McGregor fight. I don't think Dustin should give McGregor a rematch. Let's see. Let it set inside the octagon. I don't know what you mean by that. But look, would he give him a rematch? Yes, because it's big money for Poirier. And Poirier will beat him again. Poirier will beat him again. And but if I was him, I would go for the title shot. That's what I would do. I would focus on getting gold, fight Oliveira. Excuse me. Fight Oliveira, try to get that gold. By the time McGregor comes back, you can have that that fourth fight, you know. But right now, I'd focus on the gold because McGregor is going to be out for a while. Poirier or Oliveira, who wins? That's a tough one. That's from Sulan. Sulan, I would say probably Poirier at this point. But I have to do a full analysis on that. Coach, can we get an update on your vax, Bob's Burgers? Guys, as it came to the pressure, Canada's acting crazy. If you're not vaccinated, you won't be able to go to the gym. You won't be able to, every time you cross the border, you have to quarantine for 14 days. God knows I've done that so many times. I've been traveling during pandemic. I have to be quarantined. I'm quarantined crazy, guys. I've been quarantined crazy. When I travel to my destination, I'm quarantined. When I travel back, I have to be quarantined. I'm going mad with all these quarantines. I can't take it anymore. Fauci, you get the money, man. You want that money? I believe in science, but I also believe Fauci's in the science of making money, guys. That's what I say. I don't believe that I need the vaccine, guys. I personally don't believe. I have no fear of COVID. I have no fear of COVID for myself personally. I feel I'm in the demographic that shouldn't worry about COVID. Of course, I respect and want to protect others. If you're 65 and older with pre-existing condition, believe me, I'll stay 10 meters away from you. I do nothing to contact older people, okay? I value their health, and I want to make sure that I never harm anybody. But for myself, I have no fear. I believe you have more chances of getting hit by lightning than dying from COVID. But yet, I'm taking the vaccine. Why did I take the vaccine? Because Fauci's got me in an arm lock. He's twisting my arm, and he's saying, look, give me that. Let me stick you, or I will take away your life. That's what the Canadian government is doing. That's what they're doing to us. We will not grant you any freedoms. We will police you and harass you till you take the vaccination. So I said, you know what? Take it, man. Here, go. Give it to me. And I took it, guys. All right. I caved into the pressure. I agree with Rogan. I wish Rogan never walked back his comments, to be honest with you. He's right. If you're young and you're healthy, what do you need the vaccine? But you guys in the US, you have more freedom than us. Okay. Us, you cannot do anything if you don't get the vaccine. So you cross the border, it's 2 weeks. Done. 2 weeks. You have to stay home for 2 weeks. And they police you. They send people at your house. They call you. You have to pick up the phone. They want to check where.
Okay, volume is on, guys. Volume is on. You guys can hear me again. Okay, guys. I don't know what happened. My system was fixed. It dropped. My apologies. Wow, they shut it down. Maybe it shut it down because I was talking about COVID. But guys, I succumbed to the pressure. That's that. Okay, guys. I succumbed to the pressure and I took the vaccine. Why is Conor's striking cut worse? That's from Habib. I don't think it got worse. I think people now, it's like kind of like Chuck Liddell. You know, Chuck Liddell was such a great striker. And let's say Machida and all that. They had a weird style of striking. And then eventually people start figuring it out. They started figuring it out more and more. And it becomes more predictable. So when things become more predictable, your reaction times are faster. I also noticed that McGregor's reaction times got slower. I don't know if you guys noticed that. Like at one point, there was an exchange near the part where McGregor body locks him, and he got hit flush and he didn't see it coming. And that's very unlike McGregor. McGregor's eyes are usually so amazing. He sees shots coming from a mile away. He got clipped with shots he didn't see. All right, just hold on 1 second here, guys. Oh no, do I have a robotic voice? Hold on a second. I think I know what it does. Why that is. I'm working with a new system, so I sound like a robot right now, don't I? All right, let's see how to fix this. I've learned a little button pushing. Oh no. Unfortunately. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Oh. Do I have a deep robotic voice? Damn it. All right, guys, I guess I'm going to have to end this because it's going to be intolerable to have my voice like this. I know exactly what you're doing because I did. I know exactly what you're talking about because I did a test. And I've had this deep robotic voice and I had to change it somehow. I had to figure out how to change it. Hold on, let me see. It's in the filters. And then it worked. Because I had a deep robotic voice, I got rid of it. And now that it rebooted, it probably put that deep robotic voice again. But I think we did plenty of time. We're 36 minutes in. Testosterone Zahabi. Yes, I was injecting TRT while this guy's, this is a new system. I got to figure it out. I got my cousin Sammy again in here. And he's going to fix this up for me again, as usual. But guys, I enjoyed this podcast, as usual. Even though it's a shorter one than usual. Usually, I like to go an hour. But I hope you guys enjoyed it. I'll see you all in the next episode. Thank you, and all the best. Thank you.